This letter, Timothy's, Titus, Philemon, written by Paul. So this is the biggest category in the New Testament time, New Testament book. So you can see how important is Paul. God really used him not only to evangelize the places, but the majority, besides the gospel, the majority of the theological thinking, the doctrinal issues were all addressed by Paul. And he was the one to elaborate what the foundation of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, the deepest sense. And of course, in the table of contents, you can group the another kind of letters from Hebrews to Jude. We call this general epistle, or called general letters. They were not written by Paul, they're written by a few different authors, addressed to churches or individuals. But there are a lot of good teaching insights. So by now, your table of contents should be...
But I see no point. I'm grouping your table of contents now.
You should write it, you should group it. Because when you're next time you're leading Bible study, or you're talking to people, you should know where each group belongs, which each book belongs. And of course, the last book in the New Testament is the prophecy. Or we call it Apocalypse. This means revelation. So this is the few different sessions about the New Testament. Okay, let's talk about the gospel. Four gospel. Before you copy this map or copy this diagram, I want to flip to one Bible verses in Old Testament, and I need to find me another passage in the New Testament. Where can you find me the recording of the four living creatures in the Old Testament? Is it clear where? Flip it there. Chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10. Where were we up to just now? Yes, please read now. Done. Verse 10.
Ask for the likeness of their faces. Each had a face of a lion. Each in the forehead had the face of a lion on the right side. Each in the forehead had the face of a lion on the left side.
Okay, thank you. Underline this verse.
These four living creatures. Remember, the four living creatures are not animals.
But they just look like animals. They just look like certain things. They are like certain things. It's not that, oh, they are oxen or they are eagle. But they are like eagle. What is it talking about? Of course. You can talk about cherubims, angels, messenger of God. But actually, these four living creatures is the prefiguration or the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way you look at Jesus from different perspective, you see different characteristics. And once again, this happened in Revelation. The four living creatures, Revelation, where is it? Where is it in Revelation talk about the four living creatures? Chapter 4. So that's why how you write notes, right? Well, if I were you, if I were listening, not only copying, I'll mark in my Bible. In Ezekiel chapter 2, I'll write Revelation chapter 4. And then Revelation chapter 4, I'll write the margin, Ezekiel chapter 2. So talk about four living creatures. So cross-referencing. Once again, these four living creatures. Please read verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7.
The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a dog. The third living creature had the face like a man. and the four living creatures with light and fire.
Okay, thank you. Once again, you have to take a note of notes in your Bible, because you're not going to use your computer, you're not going to use your iPad, you're not going to refer to your notes in the exam. So I strongly suggest you should open your Bible, even you have your computer, you have your iPad, but don't rely on those gadgets in my class. Because if you use computer alone, you're not going to survive the class. Okay? You have to use your Bible and copy it. So these four living creatures, actually, prefiguration of Lord Jesus Christ. First, what do you see? The first one looks like what? Chapter 4, verse 7, Revelation. Look like a lion. Lion is the king of the animal kingdom. That's why I call it Lion King. Simba. Ever seen a show? The Hollywood show, I mean the Broadway show, Simba. You go to Disney, if you go to California, where is Sister Kelly live? There's Disneyland. I went to Disneyland in Hong Kong, also see the Lion King show, really nice. But anyway, lion is the king of the animal kingdom. So if you look at Lord Jesus Christ in one perspective, portrayed by Matthew, that Jesus as king. That is very important, because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, but is the King, the spiritual King of the mankind. And he is the King of the Kingdom of God. He is the King of the Kingdom of God. And that is exactly what the theme of the book of Matthew is. So if I were you now, I'll turn to Matthew chapter 1. How the Bible, how Matthew portrayed Jesus as king, he used a lot of ways to prove Jesus is king. First of all, in chapter 1, he used his genealogy. Why in the beginning of the Bible, New Testament, usually when you start a book, you won't use a boring session to start a book, right? You write a novel or start a movie, usually the first scene is very dramatic, like a car chasing or killing each other or action. But you look at the New Testament, look, it's so boring. Beginning of the New Testament is a bunch of names and so boring, no action, right? But there's a spiritual meaning, because through the genealogy, Matthew proved one thing. Jesus is the Messiah. Write it down. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. Christ is a Greek word. Christ is an English word. But that's directly from Greek. Christos. Christos means Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew word. But they are talking about the same thing. Messiah, what does it mean? You've studied it before. I know you thought that it is for BYC. What does Messiah mean? Yes? Anointed one, very good. Anointed one. Throughout the ages of the Old Testament, there was a hope of the Israelites that someone will come to deliver them out of the suffering. Because Jewish people, they have suffered a whole lot under the rule of different foreign powers. You can say a lot. How many foreign powers have ruled them? From the time of Egypt to the time of Jesus. They were Egyptian first. They were in Egypt for how many years?
450 years.
And then who ruled them? After they lost the northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyrian. And then the southern kingdom was destroyed by Babylonians. And then the Syria kingdom, Roman Empire or Greek,
they all conquer the land of Palestine. So they all suppress the people of Israel. So they have a hope that someone will come to save them. And that one, they will call him the Messiah, the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, three kind of people will be anointed to do some very important things. Who are they? First of all, king. Before a king is ordained or inaugurated, they will be anointed, use the oil to pour on the head. And then, priest. Before a priest can serve, he has to be anointed. And then who else? Prophets. Prophets could be anointed before he formally take up the church to preach the word of God. Just like Elijah anointed Elisha. So, in the Old Testament, when you talk about Messiah, you know, this is also a very important concept in the New Testament. When you talk about the Messiah, if you're in the old days, you can refer to three different people, three different kind of people. But in Jesus' time, they were expecting the Messiah. They're expecting somebody just like a Savior, can rescue the people, fight the Romans, deliver them from suffering. But Jesus gave them totally different things. Through the life of Jesus, Matthew trying to portray, yes, Jesus is a king, but he is not the king that you are looking for. He's not the political king. He's the king of the kingdom of God. That's why in the book of Matthew, the theme is Jesus is king of the kingdom of God. The word kingdom of God appears more than 30 times. More than 30 times. Except to be exact, it's about 33 times. The kingdom of God is like the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. So this theme is repeating. So when you remember the book of Matthew, just remember, Jesus is king. Just like in the four living creatures, Jesus is the lion. The lion, right? So we finished the book of Matthew so fast. The other things, the details, of course, if we have time, we can go deeper. Okay. And then the second creature. What does the second creature look like? Go back to Revelation chapter 4. Look like what? Look like an... Oh, sorry, before I go there, what's the theme verse? Theme verse of Matthew. Forget to give you a theme verse. Which Bible verse tells us Jesus is king? In the book of Matthew, you can guess. Chapter 2, verse 2. Somebody can read next. Matthew 2, 2. The Magi looking for the king of the Jews. That's why it really alarmed King Herod, because Herod really afraid that somebody will come and replace him as a king, because Herod was in charge. So this is to introduce Jesus is the king, but of course not only the king of the Jews, but the whole mankind, the spiritual king. And chapter 2 verse 6, next. 2:6. Among you, Judah, Bethlehem. So you should locate your map, Bethlehem, where it is, right? Should come a ruler, a king, that shepherd my people. So Jesus is this king. And even in chapter 26, chapter 27, verse 37. Chapter 27, verse 37.
Next. See, Jesus, even when he was accused from the time he was born until the time he was crucified, no matter you believe him or not, no matter you say out of mockery or respect or not, he is the king. So this is the theme of Matthew, the book of Matthew. Huh? Now, the second animals, the four living creatures, go back to chapter 4, verse 7. What does the second living creature look like? A calf. An oxen. Sounds a new, like an ox. So that exactly was portrayed by the second gospel of Mark. If you look at the gospel of Mark, it is the shortest gospel among the four. And Mark was also the earliest gospel, the earliest in terms of dating. It was completed first before the other three. Matthew and Luke, when they wrote the gospel, when they put the information, a lot of material they draw is from the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark. So a lot of very original material were there. But this gospel of Mark portrayed Jesus as a servant. Just like an ox. In the ancient time, if you feel you don't have oxen, there's no one to help you, you cannot farm. So you need an ox. An ox work like crazy, like so hard until it dies. When I go to Africa, every family, they're farming. And they're so poor, they don't have machine. They use ox, even to this day. And when an ox is very old, cannot farm, what do they do to him? Kill him. One time they treat me some beef when I was in Kenya. Wow, I haven't had meat for one whole week already, so I was so expecting. Oh, now, in my mind, I come from Canada, I mean, beef mean what? Rum steak, salon, tender, juicy. And the beef they serve, I chew it, wow, it's so rubber. It tastes like a rubber band. I chew it, my teeth almost fallen. I cannot even swallow it. They say, oh, it's an old cow. No, it's an old cow because they work so hard until they get so old, they have no strength, and they kill them for meat. There is the life of an ox. You work every day under the sun. You got skull, you got flock, you got hard work, and then later you die. It was sold for the meat. So Jesus is just like that. In the book of Mark, the book of Mark is a book of action. Action. Let's turn to Mark. The theme of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse. Let's turn to chapter 10, verse 45. Chapter 10, verse 45. Next. Underline this verse. That is the theme verse in the Gospel of Mark. Full of action. Jesus' life always, after he finished doing this at one place, immediately rushing to the other place. Why did he do so? Because he is a servant. A servant has no time. A servant has no luxury to rest. A servant is just like a waiter. You go to the restaurant, do you see a waiter sitting here to enjoy tea? No, right? He's always to be there. Tell him to bring this, oh, rushing around. Because he's a waiter, he's a worker. Right? Jesus is the righteous servant. He come to serve, he come to lay down his life, and he come to pay ransom for many. So the Gospel of Mark as a servant, portray Jesus as a servant. And then the third living creatures in Revelation chapter 4 look like a human. Look like a human. So the third gospel, the gospel of Luke, exactly portrays this. Exactly the same. Let's turn to Luke chapter Luke chapter 19, the theme verse of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. 19 verse 10. Next. Yes, the Son of Man.
If you open the Gospel of Luke, you'll find out that there are a lot of terms repeating. Describing Jesus is not a king, it's not a servant, but rather Jesus has humanity. Jesus was a human like you and me. He'll get hungry, he'll get upset, and he lived among people. He's just like a commoner, down to earth, mixed with sinners, tax collectors, and he makes a gun in the well to walk around among us and to know our suffering and to deliver us. So if we look at the Gospel of Luke, it's exactly like that. That Jesus, just like a man, like you and me. So the theme verse is verse 10 here. So for the four Gospels, I don't want you to memorize too many things, but you have to tell me how this related to Ezekiel and Revelation. How these four Gospels, so this is an exam question, how this related to Ezekiel and Revelation, and what is the theme of each book related to the living creatures and the theme verses. And then if you know this, you know the four Gospels. Of course, there's a lot of detail. And you have to tell me what is the similarities, but of course, and what is the difference of these four Gospels in a simple terms. Now, for Matthew, it was written for primarily Jewish audiences, for Israelites. Because Matthew wanted to prove to the stubborn, unbelieving Jews that Jesus is the real king that you should wait for. Even though he's not a political leader, but he was the real king of the kingdom of God. But for Luke, the audience is totally different. Luke was written primarily for the Gentiles believer. Because in those days, already there's a few decades after Jesus' death, the four gospels were finished in the 50s or 60s AD. So already when the gospel was finished, there are a lot of teachings going on, the churches have been spread to places, and they are already believing in Lord Jesus Christ, even other places, Gentiles. Who is Gentiles? Non-Jewish. You are Gentiles. You are Chinese, you are Gentiles. I am Chinese too, I am Gentiles. So we were all considered Gentiles believers. So Gentile believers, they may feel inferior. They may feel that, oh, we are not Jews, right? Are we sure that we can be saved? But Luke wants to emphasize that Jesus is the Son of Man, the whole mankind. He is not a son of a Jewish man, but the whole mankind. So he came to save the world, save us from sin. And his humanity, he can understand your suffering. What you're talking about, he understands. What you're going through, he understands. You can turn to Luke chapter 1. Verse 1 to 4. Next. Continue. Read louder, please. Thank you. For the first few decades after Jesus died, they were preaching the gospel, but they have no concrete material on hand. There's no standard literature they can use when they preach. They're just using oral accounts. They use the oral accounts of like the apostle or the people have followed Jesus. For example, Peter heard from Jesus, so Peter go out and say something, right? And then people hear from Peter. They say, oh, 10 years ago I heard Peter say that, he heard Jesus said this, so they keep repeating each other. So a lot of story going on, lots of preachings going on, they just quote other. But Luke and also Matthew and Mark, they decided it is time for us to sit down and to gather all the information. Otherwise, if we keep passing on generation, the information will get inaccurate and then get lost. So that's why Luke, he wrote to somebody called was Theophilus. He was a Gentile, because by his name you know he's a Greek man. He's not a Hebrew. He's a Greek, he's a Gentile believer. He's of some importance, some significant figure, but he has believed in Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at verse 1 and verse 2, it tells us that the book of Luke were written more in chronological order. So this book of Luke, you can rely, if you read the storyline, is the most chronological order. What happened first, he wrote, and then what happened next until Jesus died. But the other gospel may not be chronological order. Luke was the one, because he studied medicine probably, and he's very logical thinker and very organized person, and they go to interview different apostles, make sure all the things are correct, verify, just like a journalist. You can use the term journalist. Journalistic point of view. Because you have to verify a source. Anyone study journalism here? No? Oh, journalist here. So, Luke, even though he's a medical doctor by profession, but he's also a very good journalist. But the other gospel may not be chronological order. Sometimes they group by topics or teachings, but may not be totally chronological. So these three gospels together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have a term for these three gospels together. We call it synoptic gospel. Synoptic gospel. Synoptic means see together. These three gospels are the most similar in terms of content, chronological order, even though the perspective is different. So they are just like see together. They see together from a very similar perspective. So we call this three gospel synoptic gospel. But the fourth gospel is very different. Why it is different? Of course, the theme is different. Remember the last of the living creatures, what animal it looked like?
It looked like an eagle.
Eagle is very different than a king, a lion, or a man, or a servant, or an ox. Because eagle is the one who flies highest. A lion or a man or an ox walk on the ground. But eagle flying high, the perspective that it sees is totally different. By the same token, the Gospel of John offers you total different perspective about Lord Jesus Christ. In John, you don't see Jesus as a king. You don't see him as a servant. You don't see him as just a man. You see Jesus as Son of God. Divinity. John emphasized Jesus' divine nature. Instead of humanity, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, especially Luke, these two also, he emphasized Jesus' human nature. But John emphasized Jesus' humanity, in divinity. Divinity. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Next. Okay. This verse underlined is very important and very deep and profound. It really sounds like a verse in the Old Testament. Which verse it sounds like? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But in John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Before God created this material being, the Word was there. Didn't explain what is the Word yet. But it said the Word was with God. The Word or with God together. The Word was with God together. Now, when we talk about beginning, this is even before any material comes to being. Word is with God together. Now, if you say, oh, you are with me together, this means we are different, right? Oh, you are with me in the class or eating lunch. If you say, I am with you, this means we are two different entities, two different persons. So John said, in the beginning, the Word was with God. But if you continue to read on, what did he say? The Word was God. Actually, even though from one perspective, you can see that the Word is with God. But actually, the Word was God. And who is this Word? Verse 14. Next, let's read. The Word became flesh. This intangible Word, this spiritual Word, this Word who is God actually, and who was God with God together, actually He became flesh. And who is He? Jesus. Because of salvation, the Word became flesh. So the book of John gives us these two perspectives. If you look at one side, Jesus is always with the Heavenly Father, right? Always praying to the Father. He said, the Father is with me. They are very close. Father and Son, very close. But even from another perspective, who is Jesus? He is God Himself from a spiritual perspective. So this is what the Gospel of John trying to portray. Let's pray in silence. Amen.